from Tuesday until yesterday, I was at my cabin, which is in nowhere suburbs of Powellville. And if you've ever been to Powellville, you know there can't be much in the suburbs of Powellville. But I've got this cabin there. It's nothing fancy. But I go there to kind of unplug. And I get some reception on my phone, and sometimes I don't. So I was semi-unplugged, I guess you would say. But Wednesday night, I was sitting there and just looking up at the stars. And you can see all the stars from out there where it's so dark. You can see where the Milky Way goes through. And I had to look it up. It was Jupiter over on the side, and it was real bright. And just looking at all of that and thinking about God created all of this. These stars that are light years away. And you know, when I sat there and looked and thought about it, I felt so small. Here I am sitting in this place in the middle of nowhere on this ball of rock that's spinning around the sun at 67,000 miles an hour. And it just kind of overwhelming thinking about that. And then to think, God really cares? The creator of all this really cares about me, this little speck on this ball that's spinning around? When you look at all the heavens. And I went into my cabin to go to sleep, and I grabbed my iPad, and I was going to read. And this thing popped up. Like I said, I just get spotty reception there. It was verse of the day from YouVersion, I think, is where it came from. Psalm 8, beginning at verse 3, it said, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You've made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor." And I said, you do care. And it just struck me. And I got thinking. I think we shrink God down to a size that we can kind of manage. When I read Scripture, when I look at God, how God worked through the early church, when I look at how God has worked through the persecuted church, both throughout history and today in places like Russia and China and South America and Africa, and I look at the North American church, I can't help but think, we've lost something along the way. We've lost the wonder of Jesus. We've lost the power of the Holy Spirit. We've lost expectation in God doing the impossible. We've shrunk God to a size that we can begin to understand, maybe a God that we can handle, a God that we can control. Do we really expect to encounter God when we gather here on a Sunday morning? What do we expect Him to do in our lives, in our church, in our community, and around the world? Do we really expect Him to do anything? In 2008, there was a holiness conference being held at a Nazarene church in Ethiopia. Over 1,000 people had come to hear the preaching and teaching. And in that community, there was a man who was crippled. His legs actually twisted around each other. They were useless to him. He had 5 Muslim friends who heard about this service going on at this Nazarene church and decided We're going to take him. We've heard that this God might be able to heal him. So these five, now doesn't this sound like a Bible story? These five friends, Muslims, pick him up and carry him, and they walk into the midst of this service, like we're having service now, and all of a sudden they carry him up to the altar and say to the preacher, would you ask God to heal him? And the preacher came down and prayed for him, and he said, you could see his legs start untangling, gain strength. And he stood up and began to run around and hoop and holler and praise God. And 40 Muslims that were attending that service ran to the altar and accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Crazy stuff. Those are the kinds of stories you hear that are going on in other parts of the world. Why don't we hear of those things happening in our community, our church? Maybe we don't need those kinds of miracles for God to reveal himself. Perhaps we lack faith. Perhaps God's given us other gifts for healing and pointing people to him. Perhaps we would abuse that gift and use it to draw attention to ourselves. Because you notice in that story, it drew the people to Jesus. It wasn't to draw the people to that preacher. I don't even know the preacher's name. It wasn't in the article. I think we've shrunk God. And we expect him to do what we want him to do in an hour, 15 minutes to an hour and a half on Sunday morning during our time and our way. And we don't really want him getting out of control. Sometimes we take the gifts he gives us and we use them to point to ourselves instead of pointing to Jesus. The guy that wrote that article about that miracle that happened in Africa was Howie Shute. And he's legit. He was pastoring a church in the Kansas City area after he came off the mission field in Africa. What is it that God wants to do that we're trying to keep him in a box and keep him shrunk down and keep control of him and he can't do? Because, you know, when God gets out of control, we get nervous. And I'm not talking about emotionalism and people getting all crazy and just living for the experience and the excitement. I'm talking about God busting loose and doing whatever he wants to do in us and through us, bringing healing, hope, release from bondage, or as the women are talking about in their Monday night, being uncuffed, right? What are the things that we're cuffed to that God wants to uncuff us from? And that's not even the end of the story. In that congregation, there was another lady sitting there who was a Christian. And this, I know this is going to sound whatever, but this lady hadn't been able to urinate for 3 days. She had a blockage, an infection had set in, and her abdomen was extended. And she looked at the Christians around her and said, you know, that guy wasn't even a follower of Jesus, and God healed him. It's a shame for me to just sit here in my condition. People, shh, hey, don't say anything. We'll take you to the doctor tomorrow. Because if you go up there and ask him to pray for you and nothing happens, it's going to kill the spirit that's moving right now. So just word got to the pastor. This lady was dealing with this. And he said, look, word's gotten to me that there's a lady here that's sick and would like me to pray for her for healing. If you want to be healed, come on up. And she came up. And they prayed for her. And the blockage broke loose. Yep. She walked away completely healed. There was urine all over the church. And people went crazy, crying out to God. Holy Spirit came and revival took place in that community. God used these miracles to draw people to himself. He released people. He gave them hope. I don't even know what to do when I read these stories. They're beyond what I can comprehend. What does God want to do right here at Real Life Chapel or Easton, St. Michael's, Tillman, wherever? And we just don't give him the chance or the freedom to do it. I don't have answers. I've just got questions. What does God want to do? What is your greatest imagination of what God can and wants to do in and through you? In and through Real Life Chapel. What would you really like to see God do? What you're thinking, is it for show? Is it for self? Or is it for furthering the kingdom of God? When you look at Jesus, what do you see in him that you would like to see in yourself? Because Jesus calls us to be his disciples, his followers. He calls us to imitate him. We're to be disciples who make disciples, right? That's what we're called to. We're to follow his teachings, and we're to teach others to follow his teachings. And then we help each other live that out in our lives. We've had enough people go through discipleship class in this church that we know what we're supposed to do. Are we doing it? If not, why not? If we are, why are we doing it? Just because it's kind of what we do, or are we doing it because we really want to grow to be more and more like Jesus and to reveal him to the people around us? We're continuing this morning in Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to pick up at verse 14. And I say this a lot, I know, but man, these are some of my favorite verses. I love this prayer that Paul prays for the church in Ephesus. It's a prayer for our church. It's a prayer that we pray every single day. And you know, when you pray scripture, God will answer because it's his word we're praying back to him. These are some verses to grab hold of and continue to pray back to God. Now, last week we looked at Ephesians chapter 3. We looked at the first verse. Paul says, when I think of all this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the benefit of you Gentiles. And then he went, squirrel. And he went off on all this other stuff. So he picks back up again here at verse 14. When I think of all this, exact same thing he said in verse 1. When I think of all this, I fall on my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. Because of God's plan that was a mystery now revealed, that in Jesus Christ, God has made one people, Jew and Gentile, come together in Christ by faith through grace. We become the body of Christ. The children of God, the church, one God, one people. And Paul takes all this and thinking about this, he falls on his knees and prays. He prays to God who created all that we can see and all that we cannot see. The God who placed those stars in the sky that I was staring at on Wednesday night. The God who placed us on this ball that's flying around the sun. And he says, beginning at verse 16, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. So Paul is praying that God will empower us through his Spirit. Now, I don't know if you remember, and this is why I like preaching through a book of the Bible, because it all ties in together. In chapter 1, verse 19, Paul says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. So Paul is praying that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead will empower us with inner strength. And then he prays that That Jesus will make his home in our hearts. Paul is praying that God will empower us through God's unlimited resources. See, God doesn't just give us a teaspoon at a time. His unlimited resources. He opens up the heavens and pours out his blessings on us. His infinitely inexhaustible resources. Do we really believe that? Do we really even want that? Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 4 and 5, he says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is separate from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, do you get the picture? God is wanting to fill us with his presence, with his power. We do that through our relationship by remaining in Jesus. Jesus, fully human, fully God. And he showed us what it looks like to live a life as a full human, as a complete human in complete relationship with our Heavenly Father. He reveals what that looks like and calls us to live that kind of life. He wants to help us become more fully human, filled with the Spirit of God. But to do that, we have to allow him to work in our lives, to fill us with his strength. And that strength, that reflection of him, draws attention to him, not to us, but we're remaining fully connected to him. He wants to make us holy. He wants us to trust him fully and allow the roots of our lives to go down into God's love, which will nourish us spiritually and give us a firm foundation. Roots go down into the soil, and especially weeds, I don't know why they can do it better than anything, will go through concrete or gravel or whatever it takes to get its roots down to where they can get the nutrients and the water that it needs in order to grow. and it establishes itself. And that's what Paul's praying, is that our roots will go down into the love of God. And when we dig into the love of God with the root, that nourishment comes through us, and his love is reflected through us. How much more can we grow if we sink our roots down into the love of God? When we recognize God's love for us, the opinions of other people don't matter so much. We want to please our Father in heaven above all else. And we want others to know him and the freedom and the peace that we have in him. Another story from Africa. They get all the stories. There was a Nazarene district superintendent from Indianapolis, and he said he went to Africa. He was at the Horn of Africa, and they went there for a conference that was supposed to be district superintendents from the U.S. going over and trying to teach the pastors in Africa. He says, I think it was the other way around. But they went there. They had had a district assembly, and they said they had over 12,300 new members coming to the church during that time. They had an attendance that year of had an increase of attendance of over 33,000 people and planted 600 churches. A lot of the pastors that came to this conference had to walk for up to 2 weeks to get there. I don't want to drive 2 hours to go to a district meeting. But anyway, they said some of the pastors were late getting there because of the time it took them to walk and all. And one pastor got there a few days late, and he apologized to his district superintendent. But he said, well, I was walking here over the last 2 weeks. I planted 5 churches. And on the way back, I'm going to assign leaders to each one of those churches. That's being fruitful. That's allowing God use us, digging our roots down into the love of God, and not worrying so much about these other things, but doing what God calls us to do. And there's fruit in that as we remain in Christ, as Jesus said in John's gospel. What is it that God is calling you to do? Through the power of God's love to produce fruit. See, God wants to empower you, put power in us. That's what empower is. He wants to empower you and me through the power of the Holy Spirit to transform the world we live in. What is it he's calling you to do? What's he calling me to do? What's he calling us as a church to do? Because we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us. We're like nuclear reactors walking all over the place. We have no idea how much power we have. I always go back to Ephesians chapter 1. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in us. That's power. And Paul's praying that we'll dig those roots down into the love of Christ. So we've got that love and that power that brings transformation, not only in our lives, but in the lives of the people around us. Paul picks up in verse 18. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is his love. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. If we could just begin to understand how much God loves us, Paul prays that we would begin to understand that. But it's too great to understand, Paul said. He says, I want you to understand this thing that you can't understand. But at least that you would experience it. When I looked up at those stars, I recognized the immensity of the universe and my smallness. But in the midst of that, I got a glimpse, a glimpse of experiencing God's love for me. And experiencing God's love is not necessarily some huge event. Oh, sometimes you experience it, like the guy that got healed. But sometimes it's in the small things that we recognize God's love. Maybe it's just when someone says the right thing at the right time. Maybe it's when you look at a child and recognize the miracle of life. Maybe it's when we first turn to Jesus and recognize that he really does care about me and cares so much that he came and died for me. And that he wants to give me a better life, a full life, a fulfilled life. If we just surrender to him and trust him. Sometimes we experience his love when we read scripture or when we gather with one another. Sometimes we experience God's love and we don't have words for it. I think that's what Paul's talking about here. He wants us to kind of be able to understand how much God loves us, but we can't fully understand that. But we can experience in a way that we can't really explain it, but it shapes us. And we share it by reflecting God's love and power and peace to others. Have you really experienced the love of Christ? I think that's why sometimes sharing our faith with others is difficult, because sometimes we don't have the words. We just know. But God wants us to share that so others, though they can't fully understand, can experience his love. Jesus, fully God, fully human, dying on a cross for us. I can't understand it. My brain cannot comprehend that. But I can experience it. And I can share what that's done to my life. Picking up at verse 20 of Ephesians chapter 3. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I think it's wise to begin, important to begin with that first part, because none of this, none of it, the power, the love, none of it is to draw attention to ourselves. It's where we get messed up sometimes. It's to point people to Jesus, who way beyond us, but uses us to point others to him. And he wants to use us to bring transformation to the world we live in. Man, with that power that he's got, but no, he wants to use us. I think there's better plans out there myself, but this is what his plan is. Are we willing to allow him to use us? All glory to him. God is able through his power at work within us. His power at work within us. That's crazy. The power of God is at work within us. And we bring all of us together. There's a lot of power in this room. It's God's power in us. God is able, through his power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. I like the NIV on this verse better. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. How much can you imagine God doing in and through us? Seriously, how much can you imagine? Too small. Imagine bigger. Too small. Imagine bigger. Immeasurably more than all that we can ask or imagine. How big is that? How far can we go? I can imagine pretty big, but I think I shrink God because I'm afraid of the big. What might he do? I can't imagine God doing the things he's doing in Africa. I can't imagine 5 Muslims coming up here right now and laying some guy out here and say, Pastor, will you pray God's healing on him? Whew. I can't imagine some woman coming up here and having urine bust loose on our nice clean carpet. I mean, what would we do with that? How much can we ask or imagine God would do? What if we had a bunch of homeless people filling up our chairs and they hadn't showered in quite a while? What if people came in here and God released them from their worry and their anxiety and their depression and any other mental things that were going on? What if addicts started flooding in here and God was healing them, whether it's substance or sexual or relational? They were coming in and getting set free and lives were being transformed. What does immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine look like at Real Life Chapel? God's got the power. He wants us to be willing. But it's not nice and clean, and there's all the junk that goes with that. Urine's the least of our problems. When we get on the front line of the spiritual battle, there's junk involved there. There's discomfort involved there. It gets messy. What's Jesus wanting to do? And we're holding back. Do we really want to pray this prayer that Paul's praying? It's so much easier to shrink God down to a size we can control. We come in here Sunday morning, we raise our hands, we praise God, and we go out as if Jesus was still in the grave. But we serve a resurrected Lord. And that same power that raised him from the dead is at work in us. I can't understand it, but we can experience it, is what Paul speaks of. What would happen if we began to really realize that God wants to fill us with the fullness of His power working through us? What would happen if we began to reflect this love that we can't really understand, but that we've experienced, to those that we don't even like? What could God do? There was a man who attended the River, our former church. And he had bounced around to a lot of different churches over time. Interesting guy. He made, I forget how many, he said 60-some trips to Haiti. And he'd take different groups of people when he would go down there. His son and daughter-in-law were part of the core group when we started that church. And he ended up coming, and he just loved it, and he kept coming there. And I kept hearing more and more stories about him. Those of you that have strategic in your gifts would not want to be around Charlie. Charlie, there was a hurricane that hit Haiti. Charlie jumped on a plane and went to Haiti. He got there weren't any rental cars available, so he went around knocking on doors until he found somebody let him rent his car so he could go around Haiti and help out where he could and share Jesus. That's all he wanted to do. But his son told me when they were kids, they didn't have a whole lot of money, and he and his brother were climbing a tree, and his brother fell out and broke his arm. And they knew it was broken not because of an x-ray, but because it was sticking up like this. So they go up to the house, and Charlie grabbed the family. They all got together and began to pray, and Jeff told me that the bone that was up here just fell right into place, and they went back out and played. I said, well, maybe it's just a childhood memory that's not quite, I don't know about that. Then I was talking to another guy, because everybody knew Charlie around, because he took so many trips down to Haiti and he grabbed these group of people. Everywhere I went, people knew Charlie. And I was talking to this guy, and he says, I went to Haiti with Charlie. He says, I got in the car at the airport, and I had my hand in the door as I'm in there, because it was a full car, and somebody slammed the door shut with my hand in there. He says, I couldn't talk. Finally, somebody realized my hand was in this closed door, and they opened the door, and my hand was smashed. Charlie came around and prayed for me, and all the pain went away, and everything was fine. No bruising, no nothing. I don't know. But I do know. Can you have a pleasure in preaching someone's funeral? He was one of those people that I don't mind preaching a funeral for a man like Charlie. He was a man of great faith. The power of God worked through him. What does the power of God want to do in and through us? Are we too busy shrinking God to the size we can control? I don't understand any of this. Why does God heal one person and not another? I don't know. They're called miracles because they don't happen every day. But are there miracles that don't happen because I'm afraid to ask or imagine too big? I don't know. Like I said, I don't have answers. I just got questions today. So I get to dump all of that on you. What do we miss because we shrink God in our lives? What do we miss because we're afraid to step out in faith? Afraid we'll look bad, or God will look bad, or like that lady that's sitting in the congregation, don't say anything, it'll look bad if they can't heal you, God doesn't heal you like he did the other guy. we will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God, is what he says in verse 19 there. And in verses 20 and 21, again from the NIV, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory, hear this, in the church, in real life chapel, to him be the glory in real life chapel, and in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever, amen. God is able, and his power is at work within us. It's not our power. It's God's power at work within us. And when we allow God to work in and through us, remember, it's he, not we, it's his power, he can accomplish more than we can even begin to ask or imagine. So what's your dream? What do you dream that God could do in or through you? Now, this is all for the glory of God, not for you. It's not to draw attention to yourself. It's to point people to Jesus. What is the immeasurably more, the infinitely more that God wants to do, but isn't happening because we're holding back? Because we can't imagine big enough. See, I think too often at the church, we don't need the Holy Spirit. The things we do because we can do it. The Holy Spirit shows up, great, I'll feel good. What is it that God is calling us to? That what he's have us dreaming about, what we're imagining that's beyond anything that we could do unless he shows up. What are we guaranteed to fail if the Holy Spirit doesn't fill us with his power? That's where I believe we need to be as a church. I think we need to be looking at these things. What are those immeasurably more things that God wants to do in and through us? Have you got a dream? Have you got an immeasurable more? Like I said, I don't have answers. I've just got questions. I think this morning, I don't know how to even close. I think what I want to do is just, if you want to pray for God to give you a dream, if you don't have one, or to use you in this dream, or help you understand what's next, come and pray as the worship team comes up. Because I think about it. Jesus took 12 losers. I mean, 12 disciples. I mean, look at, he's got one of them betrayed him, ended up hanging himself. So he's got 11 left. He took those guys, and the world was changed because they were willing. They stood up against the government. They stood up against the religious leaders. They did what God called them to, the immeasurably more. Man, what can God do in this place? We let them. So if you want to pray, if you're crazy enough to pray, Jesus, do immeasurably more. Give us a dream. I invite you to come up here and pray. If you're sane, you can stay in your seats. We're going to stand and sing.